How about now? Is that better? Psalms chapter 116, please. And stand with me as we read God's word in honor of God's word. We're going to read the whole chapter here in a minute, but I just want us to see one verse right now. Verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord. Lord, we've come here to meet with you today, God. Lord, anything else is vain. Anything else will accomplish nothing, God. Lord, we're here so that we might hear from you, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to hearts as only you can. Lord, if there's someone here that's never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that today, God, they would come just like they are, lost. Lost and dying and going to hell, but realizing that there's a Savior that loves them, a God of all creation that loves them. And Lord, for those that have stepped aside, Lord, and stepped out of the way, I pray, God, that today they'd turn back to you. Lord, you know what each and every heart needs. You know who's discouraged. Lord, you know who's broken. Lord, you know who just needs to hear from you. I pray, God, you'd do what only you could do today. Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory. Lord, I pray, Lord, there wouldn't be anything that hinder your work. Most of all me, God, we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please be seated. It's a really good chapter. There's not a bad chapter in the Bible, I know. Pastor, you can say that about anything, I know. But this has just been a blessing to me this week, and so I want to look at this, and we're going to just read the chapter up to this point to kind of get what the psalmist is getting to, because he's at this point and he's asked a question. What can I do for God who's been so good to me? That's what he's saying. What can I render? What can I give? What can I do to benefit God for all that he's benefited me? So let's look at what got the psalmist to this point. All right? I love the Lord. Now that's a good statement right there, amen. I love the Lord. That's a good way to start out. God likes it when we tell him we love him. Y'all like being told that someone loves you? Yeah? Am I the only one? There's just a few of you? Well, I don't know what's wrong with the rest of y'all. I like being told I love you. When my kids tell me when they tell me that they love me, it makes my day, especially when they're not coming because they want something. That's really awesome. When my kids, you know what, Dad, I love you. What do you want? They don't have to come to me with it. What do you want? I'll give you whatever you really love me. I'll give you whatever you want. So I love that. And so the psalmist starts out, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice in my supplications. The psalmist has come to a realization. Why do I love God? Well, the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. Amen? And so the psalmist says, I love God because when I pray to him, when I call out on him, when I need something from him, when I supplicate, that's what that supplicating means. You're calling out to him. You need something. You're going to him for your needs. And when I do that, he hears my voice. Well, that's a pretty good reason to love God. Why is it that God allows us to come to him, to the throne of grace, and bring, listen, sometimes we bring some really weird stuff to him, we have different requests, don't we? Amen? I've had people ask me to pray for their cats and their dogs and their cars and all kinds of other stuff. And listen, I've prayed for, I can't honestly say I've ever prayed for any of my cats, so, but I've prayed for some things, okay, so I'm not a cat person, that's okay, God loves me anyways. But there's things that you know, we go to God for, and we get that privilege. Why? Well, because he loves us. So it causes us to love him. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The psalmist says, because he hears me, there's no place else for me to go. All my answers to life are right here in you, Lord. I love you, Lord. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell that get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. The psalmist, look, it's just like everybody else. Ever been depressed? Ever been discouraged? Ever felt downtrodden? That's what the psalmist is saying. I've been here. I felt like I wanted to die or that I could die. I felt like everybody was against me, compassed about. I felt like there's just nothing I could do, but I turned to God. So the psalmist says, I love you, Lord. He says, I love you, Lord. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord. Boy, we can sit right there for a little bit. Gracious is the Lord. Gracious. Has the Lord been gracious to you? Has there ever been a time in your life when the God of all creation has just been gracious to you? You know what that means? He's given you something that you don't deserve. Has God ever done that to you? Can I get an amen? If God's ever been gracious to you, the psalmist is saying, God's been gracious to me. The psalmist says, not only is he gracious, but he's righteous. He's righteous. You know what that means? God doesn't do anything wrong. Listen, I got to be honest. I'm not the best dad in the world. I like to think that I am, and I've got a mug that says I'm the world's greatest dad, but it's not true. I'll just be honest. Because while my kids may come to me and supplicate and tell me that they love me and they need something or come to me with a problem, just yesterday, Friday night, I'm holding something up, and my son held something up, and he put it back down, and I said, hold it back up again, and he looked at me sideways. What that means is, I don't trust you, Dad. You know why that is? I've given him reason not to trust me. Because he might lift it up again and I'll smack him in the head or something. I don't know, just whatever it is that the non-righteous dad here does. But see, God's never done that. God has never one time said, what's this? A distraction from that. He's never done that to me. Okay, but I've done that to my kids. God's righteous. Not only is he gracious, good, but he's righteous. He's righteous in every... Even the decisions that he's made on my behalf that I haven't seen were good for me and that I may not have agreed with, he's righteous in doing them. He's gracious in doing them. And the psalmist is recognizing this. He says, yea, our God is merciful. You know what that means? You didn't get what you do deserve. Oh my goodness. I beg for God's mercy every day. Because there's so many things that I deserve that he doesn't give to me. And there's things that I know are coming. Because listen, I have not lived a great life. I've made some bad decisions. And the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So I know there's some reaping coming my way. And the thing is, I also know that I've got a very merciful God. So I can call out to his mercy. And I can beg for his mercy. Now, he doesn't have to be. But man, is it wonderful when God is merciful. Hey, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you know you're not going to hell, then you know mercy. Amen. God is merciful. He said, the Lord preserveth the simple. Well, amen there. Even to those that think you're not simple, let me just tell you, you should say amen right there because God preserves the simple. You know what that means? God likes even the people that ain't smart. Come on now. Amen. God likes the people that ain't smart. For yous that don't know that you ain't smart, God likes you too. Okay? So he says, God preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Psalmist is really understanding who God is here. God has done something in this person's life. God has been good. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Listen. I'm not going to lie. It really excites me that I know, that I know, that I know, that I'm not going to spend eternity in hell. Okay? That excites me. Because I've heard about that place. The Bible describes it in detail sometimes. And I don't want to go there. So I'm very thankful that the Lord has delivered me from that. I'm also very thankful that he wipes away my tears. I mean, there are times where I'm crying because he's blessed me. I mean, I'm not going to lie. This morning when we get to one point and we shall see Jesus, I get a little tear to my eye because, man, I can't wait to see my Savior. When I get to see the one who loves me more than anybody, more than I ever could possibly deserve, that just does a little something for me. So I get a little bit of tears. And that's okay. Those are good tears. But there's times when I cry. There's times when I've let something get to me. There's times when I've been low and I've cried. Most of the times it's when I've done something stupid and God's convicted me of it. You know what he does? He wipes those tears away. I've got a good God. The psalmist is talking about my God here this morning, and he knows he's a good God. He says, he's delivered me from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Now, I'm not sinless, like Brother Marlon says, but I want to sin less. And the thing is, the only way for me to do that is to walk after the Spirit. And I'm so glad that God's given me a place that my feet can walk without slipping, without falling. Not that I don't, because, you know, sometimes I'll mess up. Amen? He's given me a place. If I'm not walking there, that's my choice. But he's given me a place where I can walk and not fall. And I completely skipped over verse 7. I don't know what my hurry is, but did you all see that? Return unto thy rest. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Isn't Jesus the one who said, come unto me, and I will give you rest? He wants to give us rest. We work so hard. Well, I've got to get a couple things situated. I've got to straighten my life out. You know, I've got this addiction over here, and I've got to get that under control before I can go to God. Or, you know, I've got these things over here. I've got these bills I got to take care of and make sure I'm debt-free before I can start tithing. Or I've got all these things over here that are happening, and until I get this stuff situated, I can't really give my life to God. And these are the things that consume us, and these are the things that are going around when all we got to do is rest. Rest in God and what he's done. You know what that means? We don't have to worry. How many of you here like worrying? I'm not going to raise my hand. I don't like worrying. Listen, I'll be honest. I don't like worrying whether I'm going to be able to have church on Sunday morning or not. I don't like worrying as to whether I got to say, okay, yes, we are or aren't going to have church. Look, I'm looking outside right now. Let's just be honest. I'm worried that I'm going to be able to have church tonight. Okay? If it keeps coming like this, I'm going to have a lot of people say, well, Pastor, better call off church because I ain't coming anyways. Because I got four-wheel drive, man. Unless it gets about a foot and a half tall, I can make it. All right? No problem. Amen. But I know there's some of you all with front-wheel drive, and your car's about that far off the ground. Okay? And let's just, also, since we're on the subject, Hancock County, I believe, forgets about 600, or the trucks that they do run over pack the ice down a little bit better. Because it gets really slick here on 600. But there are things that we worry about. God doesn't want us to worry. We're supposed to have rest. And he dealt bountifully with me. You know what that means? It's taking the blessings and the grace to another level. Bountifully. Okay? And I'm not talking about the quicker picker-upper, okay? I'm talking about God has just been good. He's been so good. Manifold mercies. Amen. So the psalmist is recognizing all this. And he says, 9, makes a vow, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Because of what God has done for me, it just makes me want to walk and listen. You just start thinking about it. Seriously. Bad day. Okay, you're having a bad day. Bad week, bad month, bad year. All the things that are weighing down you. All this stuff's going on. I tell you what you do. You just go ahead and set that stuff aside for a little bit and start putting it into your heart that the God of all creation says that he loves you. That he loves you so much that he gave his only son for you. That his only son came and gave up his life to pay for your dirty old sins because, why? He loves you. That's pretty good. And the psalmist is realizing this. So he says, because of all these things, and so you'll start putting all those worries, put all those cares aside, and start coming over here to the side where you start thinking about how good God's been to you, like this psalmist is doing, how gracious he is, how merciful he is, how he's dealt with you bountifully, and he's done all this simply because he loves you, and you're going to be like this psalmist and say, I love the Lord. And then the psalmist says, and I will walk before him in the land of the living. That's what happens when you get to, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's what it's talking about right there. You're going to get to know Jesus, and he's going to make you walk another way. Amen, Pastor. Verse 10, I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Now, I got to be honest with you. This is the one I wrestled with this week, these two verses right here. What's the psalmist saying? He's sitting there bragging on God, how good God's been to him, bragging on how God has taken him up from being low and how God has dealt graciously and bountiful with him and all these things. And then I see that even in all this, a little self-righteousness likes to come in. It does, because look, this is what he says. I've said in my haste, all men are liars. You know what that is? This guy is saying, God has even made me realize that I've got other issues besides my sin issues. I got self-righteous issues. I got problems. What the psalmist is realizing is that he's just like everybody else. I said that in my haste, and God helped me see that I'm no different than anybody else. This is meekness. It's meekness. The psalmist says that. So then we get to our text verse here. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? Now, all that was introduction. Because now we're going to look into the rest of this chapter. And I've got 10 points. not long points, and I'll go kind of quickly, maybe. First, what the psalmist sees here in verse 12, one must realize God's deeds. That's what he says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And let me just tell you, folks, can I just tell you this? Let me tell you, before we even go into the rest of this, nothing. There's nothing you can do for God. There's nothing you can do for God that's going to benefit him that he couldn't already take care of. You just need to come to grips with that, okay? I don't care how good you can sing. I don't care how good you can preach. I don't care how good you can drive a bus or teach a class or witness to folks. I don't care how good you can do something in the name of the Lord. If that's what you're, if you're doing it so that you can render it unto him, you're doing it for the wrong reason. If you're trying to pay back what he's done for you, you're doing it for the wrong reason. Because there's nothing you got that he wants. And that's what I want to talk about today. All God wants. All God wants. He wants one to realize what he's done for him, God's deeds. Second, see, moving right along, that's the second point already. One must realize God's deliverance. Psalmist says, I will take the cup of salvation. I will take the cup of salvation. What does that mean? The psalmist here, I would almost say before he gets to this point, is saved. So what does this mean, I will take the cup of salvation? Well, let's just say that maybe he wasn't saved. Because you could make that point that here he is, and throughout his life, all these situations have happened, he's come to the understanding and the realization that even though he really didn't know what God had done, now that he's come to that realization of how good God is, I want salvation. Amen? Okay, God, I want that. I want what you've got. You gave your son on the cross for me. He rose again the third day. I want that. I'll drink the cup of salvation. But see, then there's also the fact that maybe he is already saved. And he knows all that God has done for him. He's come to that realization, you know, because God had to humble him. Because he even said that God brought him low and humbled him. And so God had to humble him. And he's coming aware of all that God's done for him. He says, I will take of the cup of salvation. Act like you're saved. Act like you're saved. You're God's child? Act like it. Because there's been far too many times as God's child, I've acted like somebody else's child. Amen? I know, just me. I'll admit it. He says, I will take the cup of salvation. Third, see, moving right along. One must realize their desperation. We got to realize God's deeds. We got to realize God's deliverance and salvation. And we got to realize our desperation. He says, I will drink the cup of salvation and will call upon the name of the Lord. And I have to believe this. This is the only thing that makes sense to me. And if I'm wrong, God will show me that, you know, when we get to heaven. But I believe in order for you to get saved, you've got to be a desperate sinner. I do. I believe when it says, call upon the name of the Lord, you're not going to say, you know what, God, I know I'm wrong, my bad, I'll take it. I don't think that's it, man. I just don't think that's it. I don't see repentance there. But when I see someone who comes to the altar or when I'm in their home or in the jail cell or wherever, and they're weeping and they're saying, what can I do? What can I do? I've been horrible. I've done wrong to God, but God's been good to me. He did all that for me because he loves me. What can I do? I'll do whatever. What can I render unto him? Oh, that's it? I'll just take his salvation? Done. Calling out in desperation, realizing you're a desperate old sinner. I think that's really one thing that God wants, for us to realize that we're a desperate sinner. Because when the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, I do believe that. If you'll call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. The Bible says it. But I think there's a way you got to call. And I'm not saying, well, this is the way and this isn't the way. I'm saying you better know you're a sinner. Otherwise, you're just going through a prayer, you're just going through a ritual, and I don't think it's going to get it done. That's just my belief. You can argue with me later. But he says he'll call upon the name of the Lord. Fourth, one must realize their duty. He says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Well, I'm going to ask this, and I'll answer it, but y'all are going to know the answer, some of you anyways. The very best way to show that you believe is obedience. Amen? Right? The very best way to show that you have faith in God, that you trust him, is to obey him. That's the very best way. And what's the first thing a believer is supposed to obey him in? Baptism. Amen? That's what we believe here at Faith Baptist Church. If you're going to obey God, you've been saved, you've been born again, you've let the blood of Jesus Christ cover your sins, then you need to do one more thing here. You've got to pay your vows in the presence of men. You've got to obey God. And listen, we don't have a baptistry out here right now, but when we do, we don't tuck it back in a corner somewhere and do it privately. We do it in the presence of men. Because listen, if you will not confess His name before men, He'll not confess your name before the Father. Isn't that what the Bible says? So we need to obey Him in baptism. Another thing that I believe is the duty of a child of God after they've had the cup of salvation and been baptized is they just need to be faithful. They need to be faithful. Amen, Pastor. You're right, Pastor. Good preaching, Pastor. I know. Thank you. We need to be faithful. Faithful to what? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Be faithful to church. Be faithful to church. Be faithful to serve. Listen, that's about all I got as far as being faithful. If we could do just those two things, it seems like God kind of gets us into everything else that He wants us into. If we could just do those two things, be faithful to be to church, and there's so many people, well, you know, I can serve God outside of church. Well, you can, but let me tell you, you'll never grow the way God wants you to grow outside of a good New Testament Bible-believing church. You won't do it. I got a sweet, dear old grandma. I love my grandma. I do. And she gets on me when I get on her. I get on her and love her. But my grandma, she will not go to church. She hasn't gone to church for years. But she loves the Lord, and I worship Him in my own way. And she does. My grandma does. But you know, she's been at the same point in her whole life that I've known her. And I'm not knocking my grandma. I'm not. But, man, I want more. I want more than just salvation. I do. So, listen, it is the duty of a child of God to be faithful in things that God puts in your life and the things that God puts you in. It's our duty to be faithful in service and in attendance. Now, here's the thing. The psalmist keeps going here. And precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Now, there are going to be those that are going to say, Pastor, you're taking that stuff out of context. Take that up with God, okay? He gave me this message. I'm just delivering it, all right? But look at this. Once we realize God's deeds, we realize His deliverance, we realize our desperation, we realize our duty, then the one recognizes our death. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Because, I mean, we could be talking about martyrdom there, and there are those that believe that verse is talking about martyrdom, but man, in the context of what's going on, there's nothing to do with martyrdom in here. It really doesn't have anything to do with that. So me and my old silly old self that just thinks that we're supposed to die to self can just see that God really recognizes when we've died to self, because now we're living unto Him. We're allowing the Spirit to live through us. We're allowing the works of Christ, grace, to actually come out and be what God wants us to be. So precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. The one recognizes true death. Sixth point. See, we're moving, right? The one recognizes our duplicity. The one, God, recognizes our duplicity. He says, O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid. God sees that we are His servant, but God also knows that we're a sinner's son. Now let me clarify that. Yes, I'm born again, praise God. And I have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of me. And the Holy Spirit cannot sin. But this old flesh and Larry Hoff is real good at it. Amen. And God understands that. You know how I know He understands that? I ain't dead yet. Because there's been plenty of times where He ought to just flick me with His finger and knock the breath clean out of my lungs and take me on out of here. But He doesn't, because He understands my duplicity. And He gives me the means to have a singular mind. Amen. The one releases our dependence. It says, O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Romans tells us that we are no longer a slave of sin. Amen. That's what the psalmist is saying here. I'm no longer a slave to sin. Yes, I have this duplicitous nature. Yes, I've got the part of me that wants to do good and can't, and the part that doesn't want to do bad but does. I've got that going on. God understands it. And so he gives me the means to not be bound up in sin. Amen. I'm so glad that I don't have to be shackled to sin anymore. If I shackle myself to sin, that's my own fault. But it won't be because of what God is doing in my life. Amen goes right there. Number eight, one must always realize their debt. We ought never forget the price that's been paid for us. Look there, he says in verse 17, I will offer thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. We ought to always recognize our debt. That's what thanksgiving is. You've been good to me, and I'll say thanks. You've been good to me, and I'll say thanks. One must recognize their dependency. He says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. You know what we have a problem where we get into a situation here as those that have been born again? Yes, Pastor, I understand what you're saying. I came to the realization that I was a wicked old sinner and that I was dying and going to hell and that Jesus Christ paid for those sins. And my desperation, I called out to him. And I've been saved ever since. Bless God, that's wonderful. That is wonderful. Guess what? You're still dependent on him. You're still a desperate sinner and you still need to be calling out on him. God, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? God, I'm having a problem here. Will you help me? Hey, call on the name of the Lord. Amen. We must recognize our dependency. And one must remember their duty. Once again, he says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. What shall I render? What can I do? What can I give to God? How can I benefit God for how he benefited me? What does God want? All God wants is your heart. All God wants is your heart. He's got your heart. You'll realize what he's done. He's got your heart. You'll be calling on him. He's got your heart. You'll pay your vows before men. He's got your heart. Everything else is just taken care of. All God wants is you. It amazes me that the creator of all things, the creator of all things, the one who spoke things into existence, it amazes me that all he wants is for me to love him. He'll never make me love him. He'll never make me love him. But boy, does he make me love him. He's been merciful. He's been gracious. He's been bountiful. What shall I render unto him for all of his benefits toward me? Me. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please stand with me.